And welcome back. It is Four States Live on this Tuesday, January 5th. Allison Harder with us this morning. She is with Heartland Behavioral Health, one of our regular guests. We're talking about getting into the new year. We were talking about death to 2020. And it seems like, you know, why is it that we turn the calendar page or we buy that new calendar and we think, this is the time?
Yep.
Although you could do this anytime of the year.
Anytime. You know, I think what I always talk about with my patients that I work with and just even in talking to myself and the people around me is that, you know, I really don't focus on the concept of New Year's resolutions. I really look at that it more as a commitment. Like, what are you going to commit to, whether it's now or in March or in August? What are you willing to commit to shift your life or to accept your life or just to feel better about the space that you're walking in every day? I think we get stuck on the idea of a resolution, and it's very directive, and we get caught up in it. And then if we have a day where we're not perfect, or, you know, we fall off the ladder a little bit here or there, then we just give it up and then we stop everything and we're doomed for failure for the rest of the year. And that's just, to me, that is just so unhealthy. And it's not one of those things that I would ever promote for myself or for anyone around me. So I really like the idea of just really looking at, this is a great time for us to think about, how do we want to shift our life? Do we want to shift our life? Are we great where we're at? And if we are, that's fine too. Mm-hmm. So,
you know, for me, I never really did New Year's resolutions. Mm-hmm. For me, it was when the new school year started.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And you would get that backpack full of new notebooks, mm-hmm. school planners, whatever.
Yep.
And I'm like, this is the year that I'm going to change.
Yeah, that we're going to get organized, or that we're not going to be screaming around the house at 7 o'clock.
It's the same concept.
It is. It is. I think anytime there's an opportunity for something, you know, new starting or a fresh start, and we just kind of feel that energy, that is awesome. Like, so I feel like that's probably why we all kind of get a little bit motivated starting in January, just because it's new. But I also like to challenge folks and say, you can feel that way when all kinds of things happen in your life. A new person comes into your life, a new job, school starting, you know, all of those things. It's an opportunity for us to just shift and be able to really look at, you know, what do we love about our life, and what do we maybe want to shift a little bit about our lives?
And I like that term. There are so many terms from 2020 that mm-hmm. I would love to forget.
Right.
Like pivot,
mm-hmm.
fluid. Yeah. You know, I would love to kind of forget those.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, we still have to be fluid and we have to pivot.
Yes. Yes.
What are some of the top resolutions that are still there? Because some of them haven't changed, but the percentages aren't as high as I was expecting them.
Exactly. I was very, you know, I did some research because I was kind of thinking about that. I'm like, I wonder if, you know, 2020 has kind of shifted our focus, and what has 2020 had? Like, what kind of impact has it had on, you know, society in general? You know, of course, the top two are still, you know, exercise more, eat healthier. But those percentages are only about 44%, 42% of folks are saying, hey, that's going to be, you know, one of my top two resolutions. What I loved about this year was very interesting to me is actually the third most resolute statement was, I want to spend more time with my family and friends. And that was, you know, almost 35% of people said, that's a resolution for me, or that's a commitment mm-hmm. for me, which I really feel like, because in all of my years of kind of working and talking about this, you know, because you and I have done these shows before, you know, with the news, is that that's never been in the top three,
right.
ever.
No.
So I feel like, absolutely, some of the things that have happened, you know, in the last year or so has really influenced the way we look at our family and friends and the time, because a lot of us were pulled away from them, unfortunately, for, you know, various reasons, and for safety and for sickness and all this, and, you know, not traveling at the holidays and doing all of these things. And then really being able to say, gosh, that's really important to me. So I want to make sure that I'm spending time with them when I can.
You know, and actually, it's kind of funny, kind of the opposite of mm-hmm. what you just said. There was a former coworker of mine who's getting out of the business,
mm-hmm.
Worked at KCTV in Kansas City. She worked weekends there for 18 years, and she had to work from home mm-hmm. for the last year, and she was getting time to spend time with her two young sons. Mm-hmm. She was part of the blonde trifecta. If people remember Amy Anderson, that's who I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Mallory Maddox, that's also who I'm talking about. And myself, we were kind of the blonde trifecta of KODE. The least people you would ever think of having a kid.
Mm-hmm.
We were all pregnant at the same time.
Oh, how funny.
So we all have three boys, all about the same age.
Oh my gosh.
So they're all within about 6 months of each other. Mm-hmm. And then Mallory got out of the business last year. Amy is like, I've been working from home as a reporter working from home, which mm-hmm. is kind of an odd thing.
Wow.
But she's like, I've gotten to spend time with my children.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's getting out of the business
yeah.
now.
Yeah. She's finding that's yes. it, right? Like, that's the thing. And I agree. I think that is, and you're seeing that more and more,
yes.
is where people are starting to really value and find a way to either still do the work that they do and be with their family, or shifting completely into something that would allow them to continue mm-hmm. to do that. So I think it's going to continue to be a very interesting year to watch how we modify our lives,
yes.
And what we have found to be important for us. So, you know, I always say, you and I have talked about this, everything happens for a reason. There is a purpose behind everything that comes into our lives. And I think this is going to be one of those things that we will find, you know, in the next couple of years as we're researching the effects of COVID.
Right.
This is going to be one of them, is just that social and emotional and family growth, and how we've all been able to look at ourselves just a little bit differently because of it.
I have discovered that my son and I have the same exact personality.
Yes, I'm sure.
which has been interesting,
mm-hmm.
you know, but he and I are very close.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, we butt heads.
Yes.
So it has been interesting. Mm-hmm. And that's why he's been so excited to go back to school.
Yes.
And
yes.
thankfully, Grayson's school has done a really good job COVID-wise.
Mm-hmm.
on protecting the students and that sort of thing, so he's able to go back. But I don't know what I'd do. Like, if I were in yeah. Amy's position, if I were at my mm-hmm. old job, mm-hmm. I don't know what I'd do.
I know. I think we've all had to make some really tough decisions in the past year, and we'll continue to have to going into this year, quite honestly. You know, I think, you know, some schools are completely back, some are still hybrid, some are still trying to figure mm-hmm. it out. So it's certainly not it's not over.
Right.
And we're still trying to decide, like, where do I see myself? You know, seeing an uptick in, you know, homeschooling going up now, where folks are saying, you know what, this is what I want to do. And they're shifting that focus. So there's just a lot to consider right now.
Do you think some people are going more back towards what we would consider, and I don't know how to word this without offending somebody,
mm-hmm.
But going back more towards like the 50s mm-hmm. kind of thinking mm-hmm. where the mom stays at home or the dad stays mm-hmm. at home? I remember a TV show ages ago when they were, it may be the Ormond lady that went over a couple's finances mm-hmm. and it was cheaper for her to stay at home.
Right.
Versus going back yeah. to work and, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. paying for childcare. Do you think we're going to see a shift in that?
I do, because I think, you know, one of the other, you know, top resolutions is to find a way to live economically. You know, that's another focus that families are having is how can we live, you know, more effectively? How can we live economically? How can we live on one income, so to speak? You know, and people are figuring that out, partly because some of them had to, you know,
right.
with job losses and furloughs, people have had to figure out how can we change our lives so that we can have someone stay at home and be able to economically take care of the kids, as well as just having maybe a person working from home, or essentially maybe just having a one income family. That's very different. But that, like you said, it goes back to, you know, some of those old school, so to speak, you know, 50s mm-hmm. Time frame when really there was a working person in the family and a non-working. And certainly, other than working at home, that's a huge job, obviously,
right.
as we've all
right.
found
oh,
out,
yeah.
as many of us have found out. But I do. I think that families are starting to figure out, you know, really what is best for them. And how they can really help their families be closer and, quote, survive during this time, and that it is survivable. You know, we just have to shift and change.
It is. And mental health, although it's not like specifically mm-hmm. written out on your list, mm-hmm. mental health does come into play
it
on
does.
Some of these.
It
and
does.
We're going to be talking more about that here on Four States Live coming up here in just a few moments. Your time now is 7:40.
Your radio home for the world champion Kansas City Chiefs. 860 AM KKOW and 97.5 FM Joplin.
R&R is rolling in the new year with deals you're going to love. That's right. We're jump-starting 2021 with the R&R Sweetheart Special. All you need is $21 to get started on anything in the store.
Plus, no payment till after Valentine's Day.
Huh? Yep, get a new set of tires or a new set of wheels. And all you need is $21 to get started. Plus, your first payment isn't due until after Valentine's Day. And that's not all. Right now, 20-inch wheel and tire packages start at just $9.99. And 20-inch off-road wheel and tire packages start at just $19.99.
Wheels and tires paired together make the perfect couple.
And R&R gives you options like low weekly or monthly payments, 6 months same as cash, and you don't need credit. Everyone is approved. So get the wheels you want and the tires you need. Plus, no payment until after Valentine's Day during the Sweetheart Special. Now at R&R Tire Express. Located on North Rangeline Road in Joplin.
R&R. Honey, I planned a little getaway for us.
Ugh, the Football Hall of Fame again?
No, this will be fun for both of us. A complete resort experience at Downstream.
Downstream?
Yeah, check it out. There's a golf course for me and a spa for you.
Ooh, or we could start the day in the pool.
Mm-hmm.
Then hit their huge gaming floor together.
Exactly. Then steak dinner, drinks, and...
dancing?
If you play your cards right.
Sounds like the best vacation idea you've ever had.
Well, I can't take all the credit. There's something for everyone at Downstream Casino Resort.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/news. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Good morning. Today is Tuesday, January 5th, the fifth official day of 2021. 360 days are left in the year, and there will be 9 hours and 42 minutes of daylight today. Sunrise today was at 7:33 a.m., with sunset coming at 5:16 p.m. And now let's take a look back at the closing markets for Monday, January 4th. Market data provided by Bar Chart. In the cash cattle comments, formula totals for last week were larger in all major feeding areas. Kansas was at 69,042, up 7,446. Nebraska at 36,707, gaining 3,328. And Texas at 56,685, up 3,489. Total trade volume was somewhat higher in Kansas and higher in Nebraska and Texas. Kansas at 79,694, up 546. Nebraska at 64,477, up 10,537. And Texas at 67,572, gaining 6,118. New show lists appear to be larger in all major feeding areas, but bids and asking prices have yet to be established. Significant trade volume will likely be delayed until the second half of the week. Beef cutouts were higher, with choice at 212.02, up 267, and select at 196.75, up $1.78 with light box movement. There were 21 loads of choice cuts and 7 loads of select. In hog prices, Dorchester, Wisconsin was at $36 for barrows and gilts, and Garnavillo, Iowa was steady at $40 for barrows and gilts. At the mercantile, live cattle for February closed at $112.30, down $2.72. April was $3 lower at $116.25, and June finished at $112.57, falling $2.12. Feeder cattle for January was $4 lower at $134.95. March closed at $136.02, down $4.20, and April was off $3.72 at $138.05. Lean hogs for February closed at $71.22, up 95 cents. April was $1.37 higher at $73.62, and May finished at $77.75, gaining $1.02. From the Chicago Board of Trade, March wheat closed at 642 even, up 1.5. May was at 640.5, up 1. And July added 1.5 at 629.75. Corn for March was down 0.25 at 483.75. May was at 484.25, rising 1. And July finished at 482.25, adding 2. Soybeans for January closed at 1316.5, up 1.25. March added 2 at 1313 even, and May was at 1311.25, up 4.5. Soybean meal for January closed at 427.20, down 7.20. March was at 423.70, dropping 5.70, and May was $2 lower at 421.40. Soybean oil for January was off 40 points at 42.93. March closed at 42.13, down 27 points, and May fell 13 points at 41.39. At the Kansas City Board of Trade, March wheat closed at 599.5, down 4. May lost 3 at 603.25, and July was off 2.25 at 605 even. That's been a look at Monday's closing markets. I'm downtown Keith Brown on the Four States Ag Leader.
Welcome back. This is Four States Live with Shannon Bruffett and local guests from right here in the Four States. Your radio station for local news, 860 AM KKOW and 97.5 FM Joplin.
And welcome back. It is Four States Live on this Tuesday, January 5th. We have kicked 2020 to the curb, right, Allison?
Yes,
Harder?
Yes, we have.
Yeah, Allison is back with us with Heartland Behavioral Health. And I think a lot of people have been excited to kick 2020 to the curb.
Yep.
And, you know, New Year's resolutions, although, you and I have kind of agreed that we don't like the idea of, like, New Year, new you. Like, I'm... Just because it's a new year doesn't mean you have to make these changes.
Right. I think it seems so restrictive and very definitive, and it doesn't leave us room for just things happening in our life. So I feel like, I think one of the things that you hear so much about is like, starting habits, it takes 21 days to start a habit, which I fully agree with. So you've got to give yourself time. And this is what I say to anyone that I work with, and give yourself grace. No matter what you're doing, always giving yourself grace, because things are going to happen. You know, if you set that target, I'm going to exercise every single day and I'm going to eat a certain diet every single day, and you have a day where you just don't, and then it's all of a sudden it's black or white, done, I can't do this anymore. And it's like, you know what? Give yourself some grace. Start back up again.
Sure.
It's just really about finding what you want to do and how you feel comfortable and getting excited about it. It's not like this thing that you have to do. It's that you really want to.
And I think that's you were kind enough to send me for some commitments, committing to something, an exercise that you want to do.
Yes. So I see this so often with my patients, especially I work a lot with women in my private practice, and just overall wellness and just finding ourselves as women. Cause it's, sorry guys, but being a woman, it's a different thing.
We're a different animal.
We are a different animal. I say that all the time. So
my husband, I had to ask him this morning if he was a heathen because he couldn't open the apple bag from the one end. Mm-hmm. He just ripped it open the middle and he's like, I don't know, maybe we have a rat.
Yeah. I
like,
know.
Dude.
Yeah. I know. So we are, we're different. We're just different. And I love us. So, but I do always talk about, about finding something when you're talking about exercise or wanting to move more, is honestly find something that you enjoy, because if you don't like it, you're not going to keep doing it. Why torture yourself of doing some, horrible class with, so great example is,
elliptical.
Yeah. So, some people, you're not going anywhere, right? Okay. So for me, it's a burpee. Refuse to do them. I hate them. I can't do them. I feel like a flopping whale on the floor. And so I'm like, why am I doing this to myself? So I don't do them. Like if there's a burpee and I'm just not going to do it. I'll do a squat or whatever. But that's what I've decided, because I am not going to be miserable when I'm trying to just move my body, exercise my heart, help myself feel better, get rid of some stress. That's what exercise is all about.
And so, let's be honest, as we get older, getting up off the ground after
goodness. It's just not even funny. It's just not even fair.
You should see me wrapping presents.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
exactly. And and for those folks who can do them, that you're awesome. Like, great for you. This just not going to be me. So, you know, so I commit to something that I do like. You know, I like to spin bike. I like to walk. Like, that is such a great thing. Like, I feel better. The key is, do you feel better when you're done, or are you this miserable thing that can't even move when you're done? Because then it's like, you're not going to stay committed to that. You're not going to do that forever. You're just not. So that's probably the number one thing I talk to my women about.
And I think it's also the same with diet. Like,
absolutely.
Are you going to be miserable?
Exactly. Like, I think the other, you know, is finding our relationship with food is so important. So this is the time of year that I really dread with working with my patients or my girlfriends, or just what you see people doing to themselves during this time of year when they're like, I'm going to go on this restrictive diet. Literally, how many more things can we measure? You've got macros, you've got ketos, you've got carbs, you've got fat, you've got gluten-free, I'm overwhelming myself looking at all of these options, when instead is just thinking about, what is your relationship with food? When are you eating? Do you eat when you're stressed or when you're sad or when you're happy? Or what are you putting in your body? Are you putting it in to fuel yourself? Are you putting it in to feel better? Like, what is the purpose of your, really eating is about fuel. That's literally what it's for, so that we can keep going during the day. So I really encourage my folks to just, rather than being on this restrictive plan, is finding something that works for you, that helps you feel energized, feel better, and that you can sustain, and you will get healthier when you do it that way. I assure you.
You've got to take some time, and we're going to take a quick break because you and I have talked too much.
Yes, I know.
Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. We've got one more round with you in this hour coming up on Four States Live, but we've got lots more to talk about coming up in the 8 to 9 hour. So stick with us on Four States Live on this Tuesday, January 5th.
Do you have timber on your land that you want to get rid of? Have you thought, I wonder what my trees are worth? Much like corn or soybeans, those trees may be a cash-producing crop. Don't just doze your trees down and then set them on fire. Call Josh Hartness Logging instead. With over 25 years of experience, Josh Hartness Logging will come survey the tree species you have on your land and take the guesswork out of harvesting that timber. Next time you think, I'd like to get rid of that swath of trees, give Josh Hartness Logging a call at 620-212-0896.
Farmers Bank takes pride in knowing they have a vital role in the growth and development of our Kansas communities. As partners in business and friends in life, all their banking decisions are made right here locally. With no fees on ag loans and no origination fees or points on home loans, discover the difference a hometown bank can make. Visit them in Walnut, Hepler, St. Paul, and Girard for all your banking needs. Farmers Bank. We make banking better. Member FDIC.
When preparing a meal for your family, you want to be sure you're using the very best. We feel the same way about our grain and feed. It's no secret you get the best milk from healthy cows. Goes to say you're happier when getting higher and better quality production from your feed.
Crescent Feed carries the best value, no additives or fillers. We supply feed stores over the local four states. Crescent Feed, family owned and operated since 1925. To find a location in your area or ask for dealer opportunities, call 417-866-4364.
You're listening to Four States Live on 105.3 KMOQ Columbus and 860 AM KKOW Pittsburgh, K248DR 97.5 FM Joplin.
And welcome back. It is Four States Live on Tuesday, January 5th. Allison Harder back with us with Heartland Behavioral Health Services out of Nevada. We've been talking about New Year's resolutions or commitments. I think commitments would be a better term because you can make a commitment any time of the year.
Absolutely.
It could be August 8th if you want it to be.
Absolutely. You're like, you know what? I want to change this in my life, or I want to shift, or I want to start doing something rather than stop doing something. I would say, what would you like to start doing instead of stopping doing? I think that that has a much more positive aspect behind it. And you can do that anytime. And that's what the great thing about a day-to-day life is. You can do it whenever you want.
you know, and you and I have known each other for mm-hmm. a lot of years.
Yep.
And I know that losing weight's still always at the top
yep.
of everything. And people have seen me at my biggest, at my mm-hmm. smallest, my biggest mm-hmm. and my smallest.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm probably down to my high school weight, which mm-hmm. is my smallest, but I'm not at my healthiest
mm-hmm.
Because of how I got here.
Right.
But it, you know, part of my change, my commitment to myself years ago was getting out of TV because I was tired of it.
Right.
And I think that kind of pulls into play mm-hmm. your relationship with social media.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Because people suck. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Some of you guys stink.
Yeah. yeah. And I think that's, it's so interesting. There's so much conversation right now about shifting and looking at how whether it's social media or emails, essentially any sort of, you know, media, what the impact it has on us. So I think, you know, one of the top focuses or commitments or resolutions out there is to spend less time on social media. Like, mm-hmm. you know, about 25% of the population has said this year, I want to spend less time on social media. You know, one of the things that I talk to my patients about and I have to tell myself every day is, you know, just look at my relationship with social media. What is on my feed? You know, because for some people, I have a couple clients who have completely given it up, and they've said, I feel so much better because I'm not pulled into so much of that. And I've worked with them on that. And I think that's great. For some people, just based on, you know, their kids' things, because unfortunately, a lot of us with kids, there's, you know, the events, the news article,
right.
it's on social media. So if we go completely off, then we are in the dark when it comes to our kids.
Right.
So I understand some of us have to keep that, but you can really look at what is your feed, like cleanse your feed. What's on there? Who's on mm-hmm. there? What are they saying? You know, are you getting crazy ads? Are you like, and then you can always unfollow or unsubscribe or any of those things and just focus on the things that you have to. So I've had to do that a lot with myself is, you know, unfollow or hide or whatever I need to do because I don't want to see that. It's not helpful for me. I'm just going to look at the things that I know I really need to and I can cleanse myself of the rest. And that's kind of the first step that I talk to with my clients about is maybe you don't give it up completely. Totally understand that. But let's cleanse it. Let's do a cleanse.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's why pretty much if you're friends with me and I'm mm-hmm. I'm going through my Facebook feed
mm-hmm.
because, you know, I had to friend everybody initially.
Right.
Because it was back before they had fan pages.
Right.
And so I've got people on there that I don't know why
mm-hmm.
that they're friends of mine.
Right.
But I know they're why because I said, OK, you know, mm-hmm. way back when. But like that's why you typically only see my child and his recitals.
Right.
And it's mm-hmm. stuff that makes me happy.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think the other part too is, you know, make potentially a commitment this year is really thinking about when you're posting something or when you're sharing something, what is your intention behind that? Is it, like you said, something you're excited about because you're super proud of them at a recital? Mm-hmm. That's awesome. But if you're sharing something or posting something that might be, I don't know, controversial or may have a little bit of teeth behind it or sting behind it, thinking about what is the intention of what you're trying to portray? What is the purpose? Is it going to be helpful to you and how you feel later on? And then also thinking about when you get caught up in that feed and because we can do that. We can get caught up in a feed
yeah.
for hours, don't even realize we're down the rabbit hole. And then all of a sudden we start thinking about, look at how you feel during that time. Do you feel good? Because most of the time you don't. Do you feel overwhelmed? Do you feel stressed out because you're grabbing on to all of these other people's things that aren't even yours. So cleanse from that. Like really, we don't need that. We got enough going on in our own stuff.
I think the rabbit hole I'm willing to go down though is when I post any glimmer of hope that they might bring back Firefly.
Yeah, you've said that. Yeah.
Like I will cling to that in all its glory.
Yeah. Yeah. And those are fun things. You know, I mean, I think that's something that you're interested in. And that's what's great about it. So there is some positive stuff out there with social media. But wow, I love the idea that we want to change our relationship with it. And really,
yes.
what is the purpose of it? Because that's really important to us as we're moving forward.
Absolutely. And of course, how can people get in contact with you? Because, you know, we're all going through this change or whatever, how can people get in contact with you at Heartland Behavioral Health?
So really the best way is to check us out on our website, which is heartlandbehavioralhealth.com. There's various numbers for our inpatient, residential, as well as our outpatient clinic. That's primarily where I see my patients is in the on the outpatient side, because that's where my true love is just working with folks who, and again, you don't have to be, and I love this, you don't have to be in crisis to seek out therapy. You don't. That's the great thing. So
absolutely. And we're going to be talking more with Allison here in just a little bit here on Four States Live regarding those New Year's resolutions and maybe some changes we need to kind of, you brought some things that hit home.
Yep.
To me. So we're going to be talking about that here in just a little bit here on Four States Live. Stay with us.
Do not adjust your radio. We're in complete control. 860 AM KKOW Pittsburgh and 97.5 FM K248 DR Joplin.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
And good morning. Welcome. It is Four States Live on Tuesday, January 5th. Of course, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, hit me up with an email. That's fourstates@kkowradio.com. You can also find me on my Facebook fan page. Just search out Shannon Bruffett, AMI Radio Group, and hit me up with a private message there. And we'll see what we can do about getting you on the show. Back with us this morning, Allison Harder. She is with Heartland Behavioral Health. We're talking about the new year, kind of the new you. Mm-hmm. We hesitate on using resolutions. We like to talk about commitments because sometimes you can resolve to do something. But you know what? Sickness happens. Life happens. And we falter. And then we just go kind of brush our hands of it and walk away
and
from
then just,
it.
And then just say, oh, I can't do it. But when instead we're just committing to whatever that might be, whether it's a lifestyle change or, you know, how our relationship with food or our family or work, or just really looking at ourselves and saying, you know, what do I want to commit to? How do I want to do that? And like we were talking about earlier, is you can commit at any time and you can change it at any time too, which is so great. It's not like just for a year. It's really about who you want to become and what makes you happy.
And I think this last year has kind of changed our ideas of commitments and resolutions.
Definitely.
I was telling you about a former coworker who's getting out of the business after, you know, 25 years because she spent the last year at home with her kids and that's what she wants to do now.
You know, I think people are starting to figure out, I'm hopefully figuring out, like, what is important to them and what truly makes them feel good in that moment, rather than kind of forcing ourselves to either do things or to accept things when maybe that's just not what's good for us. You know, I think even spending time with certain people in our lives, one of the things that I talk to my patients about is I want you to think about the people that you spend your time with. Mm-hmm. And are those your, and I call this your mouthful of food friends or people. And they look at me like I'm what? And what I say to them is, are these people that if you had a mouthful of food and you were speaking that you would feel comfortable with, that you would be okay with? Or, you know, some people say, you know, would you take your top off in front of them? I mean, it's just, it's those, it's the whole analogy is who are these people that you feel that comfortable with that you want to spend your time with? Spend your time with them, not focusing on the ones who maybe aren't those mouthful of food friends or family members. Spending less time with those on social media that truly are not your mouthful of food friends, and finding that time, because a lot of us don't have a whole lot of it, is to really, you know, fill your jar full of those kind of people.
Mm-hmm. And one thing that you also pointed out to me during one of the commercial breaks, you know, speaking of that and people that you necessarily don't want to spend time with, is there are a lot of people who are looking into plastic surgery and that sort of a thing, because I hate Zoom.
Like I know
when you get 26 third graders.
Yep.
All together, and it looks like the Brady Bunch on crack. You know, thankfully the teachers figured out mute, but there are people that are looking at themselves saying, I need to change
all day
something.
Long. Yeah. You know, I think sadly, one of the things that has come from the pandemic, especially as so many of us are on, you know, those Zoom or WebEx cameras all day long in some instances. So we are kind of forced to see ourselves. And you know what? Those cameras are not very forgiving. You know, I notice when I'm doing telehealth, I'm like, oh, my face looks really red today. Oh my gosh, my hair is sticking up. And I'm like, wait, what am I doing? Like, this is not even the purpose. So I always, what I've said to my clients and my patients is, turn yourself off of Zoom. Like, you can minimize yourself and just focus on the people that you're talking to. You don't have to look at yourself all day, because we have really seen an uptick in people saying, I don't like myself. I want to get plastic surgery. Oh, I need to fix this part of my nose. Or, oh my gosh, my chin is drooping a little bit. Or, oh, my hairline. And, you know, gosh, that's just so hard and so harsh. And so really what I say is, minimize yourself on Zoom. You don't have to look at yourself. Focus on what you're doing and just love who you are for mm-hmm. who you are, because that's just not a very forgiving space anyway.
No, it's not.
It's not.
Although my still favorite is, we did the Mother's Day program and Grayson pointed out, you know, the teacher said, hey, everybody looks great. You know, you're dressed yeah. up and everything. And Grayson's like, well, you can't see our pants. And I'm like,
exactly.
Thanks, dude.
Exactly. Thanks. Exactly. I know. There are definitely some comical things that are coming from Zoom and all of the WebEx stuff that we've been doing. But unfortunately, some of it's not always the best. So,
no.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, a lot of times people are trying to find that perfect space
yeah.
for themselves. And in mm-hmm. fact, we had a local realtor on yesterday who was talking about that, you know, some of the home buyers that he has, they're looking for dedicated office space.
Yeah.
And that's been kind of a big push. Mm-hmm. But you can rearrange what you got.
Exactly.
Without buying exactly. and moving.
Yeah. And that's one of the great things I always talk about, too, is like, you know, whatever space you do have, whatever is yours, is to arrange it, declutter it, organize it, make it be yours. So it could be. It could, because a lot of us we're sharing rooms. Some of us,
right.
you got our kids over here and we're over there. And but even if it's just within your eyesight, is being able to feel good about it. Whether you look at a fresh flower or whether you look at a picture of a certain thing, or but just really making it yours, declutter it, make it be about what you want it to be within your eyesight, and not worrying about everything else around you. But yeah, a dedicated office space would be awesome. But it's just really your space where you're at is the best thing to focus on.
How do you keep the cats out of the zoo?
That is a great thing. I know, and I think that we've seen lots of funny things about that.
And you know what? I think that's kind of helped having yeah. some of that.
I think it's great.
A little bit of humor.
I do too. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think that's the reality of life. I think that's what we're all dealing with.
Right.
And we need to be able to have some humor and find joy in what we're doing right now. So,
well, and speaking of finding joy, you know, we've been talking about like diet, exercise, and that sort mm-hmm. of thing. You also sent some other ideas.
Yeah.
One of them is I enjoy cooking whenever mm-hmm. I am actually eating, but cook one new thing a week.
Yeah.
Give it a shot.
Do something fun. Cause I think we've all gotten kind of stuck in a rut. I personally do not like cooking. I wish I did. And I think it's because I don't do things that are new. Like, I get stuck in a rut. So
right.
I kind of saw this and I said, you know what? I might try this. It's like just putting one new thing, something fun, stick it on the menu, see what happens. You know, if it's good, great. If it's not, okay, that's fine too. But just changing it up a little bit and enjoying. And again, that connects our relationship with food, because we were talking in the last segment about really shifting how we see food, what it's about for us. So I think it just really connects us to enjoying food for a reason.
I wonder about those subscription boxes. I haven't tried those.
Yeah.
And if people can afford them, that might be a great way.
Totally agree.
To do it.
Yeah, I think I completely agree. I think for some folks, it's something that is very affordable. You know, you also see, you know, in some of the grocery stores, kind of a different version of those that are just kind uh-huh. of there, that might be a little bit more affordable because they're local. I know that a lot of farmers markets are starting to, once we get back into that season, they're creating those opportunities where they kind of put them together because they want people to learn how to mm-hmm. cook and how to use their products. So yeah, those are great opportunities for us.
And speaking of farmers markets, I mean, I know we're kind of getting out of season, but like Webb City goes year round.
That's
because
awesome.
We've got a lot of farmers mm-hmm. that do like the wind tunnel farming
yeah.
and that sort of a thing. So you can still get healthy and local produce.
That's so cool.
Which is amazing.
Yeah. Love that.
Anytime
great.
You can eat fresh.
Yep.
It's better.
100%. And we've talked about that a lot in my segments, is, you know, the brighter the color and the fresher it is, that's the nutrients that our body needs to heal and to be healthy. So,
and one other thing you and I also talked about on reading books,
yeah.
like, you know, we've curled up in the corner and reading the books, but sometimes it's the type of books
yeah.
that you're reading.
So I talk a lot about this too, is that I really encourage the folks that I work with, is let's find a book that you enjoy, not one that is, you know, necessarily a self-help book or how to, you know, how to do this or how to do that. Because then I think we get stuck in that mindset of that we're not okay, that there's something wrong with us. Now, self-help group, those are all great. I mean, there's lots of great books out there. Believe me, I have a book, bookshelf full of those. So don't get me wrong. But I also make sure that I have something next to me that's enjoyable, that's just a fun read, that can take me somewhere that I'm not here. And I think those are so important. So I always say grab something that's just fun.
And, you know, we've been working with Grayson on that because he's very into nonfiction.
Mm-hmm.
We've been working hard to get him into reading more fiction books.
Right.
And the thing of it is, like, my library of fiction books, I've got this kid set.
Yeah.
I've got the, I mean, like, I'm in the middle of the seventh book of Harry Potter right
now.
That's
awesome. Yep.
You know, because I just don't need the world.
Right.
And that's how I escape.
Yep. You know, I always say, you know, grab that book that you would be sitting on a beach reading, or, you know, just that mindless but mindful entertainment. And that's the key. And I think we all have different genres that we enjoy. Go for it. But I think focusing on those is really important too, you know. Just like I say, grab a magazine, grab something that's different, that is just not going to focus in on, you know, what's wrong.
And stay off social media.
Yeah, yeah.
Stay off social media right now.
Yeah, yeah. Cleanse it for sure.
Yes.
Cleanse your social media for sure.
Well, we're going to be talking more with Allison. Again, we've got some things like delegation.
Yes.
We're going to be talking more about that here in just a few moments on Four States Live. Stay with us.
Have a question or comment? Just email.
And welcome back. It is Four States Live on Tuesday, January 5th. Allison Harder back with us this morning with Heartland Behavioral Health out of Nevada. We're talking about New Year's resolutions, New Year's commitments, whatever you want to call them. You know, just making the commitment to change. You don't have to do it now.
Right.
You can do it any time of the year.
I think just in looking at yourself and your family and your environment and the people around you and saying, you know, is this good? Do I want to shift anything? Do I want to change anything? What truly makes me happy? What gets me up in the morning? And focusing your life around those things. I always say, you know, what do you have that's working for you? And the things that aren't, that are toxic, that are pulling you down, is let's get rid of them. Let's shed those as much as we can. So
some of the ideas that you sent me to give to clients, one of them is taking back your lunch break.
Oh my gosh.
And you know that I shared with you when my dad was ill, I lost my lunch break.
Yep.
Like that was part of it.
Yep.
And it kind of turned into a downward spiral of me not eating.
Yep.
Period.
Yep. Yeah. And this is one of the things that, and I'm just going to tell you right now, I am the pot calling the kettle black on this one. And this is one that I've committed to myself this year. It's day five, not quite there yet. I'm getting there though. I'm going to give myself some grace, but taking back your lunch break is really about putting yourself first. It's really about saying, you know, we can get so busy in our life. We can be, you know, so over-focused on our work or over-focused on our kids or school that we're not just taking that moment to say, I'm going to take a break and I'm going to just enjoy my life. I'm going to get outside, or I'm just going to sit in my office or in the lunchroom or wherever and, you know, enjoy my lunch and just be. We don't do that very well, and especially with as busy as we are, those of us that have kids and we're doing all these things, we're not productive that way. When we don't give ourselves those moments of peace, we are not going to be productive and we cannot be there for ourselves and for our families or for our work. So I love that statement because it means so much, but it's a simple concept of just take that break. Like, why are you having to work through it? Why are you forcing yourself to do that? You've got to find that balance.
And I worked with some people that made sure they took control of their lunch break.
Yeah.
And they would heat up their food in the break room and drive to a park.
Yep. Yep. And, you know, and it's funny because I think until probably this year, really, sadly, some of those people who did that, who did take care of themselves, we would look at them as unproductive or, gosh, they're so selfish. And I'm thinking to myself now, no, they are geniuses. Like, that is exactly what they should be doing because they are going to be more productive in their life for simply putting that 1 hour or 45 minutes or 30 minutes or whatever it is first. So I love that change. And I had to force this upon myself and change the way I viewed it too.
So there's that. And then there's another one that kind of hit home.
Yeah.
Buying clothes that actually fit.
Yes. Yeah.
Like that. Yeah. It was one of those because I wasn't taking control of my lunch break. And basically I stopped eating.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you out there who don't know, my dad got really sick in 2018 and unfortunately passed. There was just a lot of stuff going on. And I didn't realize how much weight I was losing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't work for a year. And all of a sudden it's time for a job interview and I'm trying on my business clothes.
Yeah.
And I'm literally walking out of my pants.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then I think when we're surrounding ourselves with those things that don't fit, whether they're too big or too small, then we're judging, right? We're judging our past, we're judging our future, instead of just being in the present right now. So finding clothes, just buy the things that fit rather than saying, well, I'm going to buy this because I might get there someday, or I'm going to hold on to these old clothes because I could get back to that someday. Or what if I do start to gain more weight? I better not get rid of those clothes. So I think unless they have a sentimental value to you, you know, like some of us have that one sweater that we just, you know, don't want to get rid of because we just think it's great or whatever. But other than that, you know, give it away, donate it, sell it, whatever you need to do, and just be where you are today. And I think that's going to help us feel good about where we're at in that moment instead of always striving to be something that we're not.
Right. Well, and sometimes going up a size and it fits better, you're going to look great.
Exactly. Exactly. Because it feels right. Right. Like there is nothing worse than trying to jam yourself into something that just doesn't fit, because the entire time you're super uncomfortable when in fact, if you would just buy something that does fit you, you're going to feel great. You're going to be able to move. You're just going to be more confident in yourself instead of just thinking into pulling on this or if it's too big and you're pulling them up and tightening the belt, or it's just miserable. Like we don't need to do that to ourselves. It's just, we're beyond that now.
Yeah. No, I had a couple of close calls with being embarrassed.
I'm sure.
And it was just one of those. I woke up one morning and I went from whatever size to high school size, and I was literally walking out of my pants.
Exactly. And that can't feel good. I mean, it just can't, because when you're tightening your belt to that and things just don't look right on you, or they're sagging or they're too tight, that's just a miserable feeling. And let's not do that to ourselves.
So what about writing letters to yourself?
Oh my gosh, I love this one. So this is something that we're not very good at, right? We're not very good about telling ourselves what we think, about, you know, suggesting things to our future self, you know, talking to yourself, that self-talk. So, you know, we'll write letters or we'll send emails or we'll send texts to other people, right, all day long. But we don't do that to ourselves. We don't send messages to ourselves. We don't talk about our day. We don't share our experiences. We don't compliment ourselves. You know, I always say that is that we are so much better at complimenting other people for what we notice, but we are so bad about saying that exact same thing about ourselves. You can be that way. You can be that kind of person. It's okay to say, man, I really like how I look today, or that looks really great on me, or you know what? I just handled that situation really well. Thank you for doing that, and talking to yourself. So I love the concept of writing letters to ourselves. We can look back at those and appreciate those at some point in our life, and complimenting ourselves during the day, because we're not really good at that. So I always say, if I'm going to say something to someone else and compliment them because I want them to feel good, I need to be saying the same thing to myself at the same time about something too.
So do you literally physically write it down,
or
do you send it in an email to yourself?
All of the above.
Okay.
I think it's great because, you know, some people really love to write. So I have a million different like journal things that sit next to my bed. Oh my gosh, I've started them at different. So I just randomly just throw stuff in there. But I've also written like emails to myself that I'm going to save in like my little, so that someday I look back at them and say, oh my gosh, remember that day? And this is what you did really well. I'm really proud of you for that. So I think any way we can do that and hold on to it is so important to ourselves.
Well, and speaking of having the journals next to your bed.
Yeah.
Sleeping is a huge,
huge, huge.
So like we talk about it for physical health and mental health
all the time. It is so important. I always say if there's a few things that you can do, if you can get yourself on a sleep pattern and drink water, those are like my big things, which I'm terrible at both. So again, calling the pot, calling the kettle black. I'm very mindful of that, but, sleep schedule is so critical. And I also encourage for folks who, you know, have a partner is to try to get on the same sleep schedule. I know that's not possible all the time. People work different hours. They have different jobs. Like, I get that. But if you can both have the same sleep schedule, that's really helpful because it kind of forces you to do that. But pick a time, find a time, commit to that time, get those. And I know this sounds crazy, but we really need 8 to 9 hours. Our kids definitely need 9 to 10, and none of us get any of that. So right. We need to strive for that, but commit yourself, put the phone away, really find that pattern of whether you're reading something or you're listening to a meditation of some sort, but get yourself to sleep at a certain time and stick with that and stay on that schedule and remind yourself it takes a while. So give yourself at least a month on that same schedule before you say, oh, I can't do it. So.
And make your bed when you get up.
I know. Isn't that funny? No, but seriously, that is such a huge thing. Like that is, if you can just do that, because there's nothing better than getting to help you for your sleep schedule is getting into a made bed and then just having your room. Like if there's one thing in my room that is like everything else can be full of clutter, but if my bed is made, then I feel okay. For some reason, like I feel like my life is not completely horrible because my bed is made. I don't know what it is, but honestly, research tells us that if you can do like that one thing, is that that's one of the things that you can do is just make your bed every day and just feel good about that. So
that way you, it's your own, what I call it is an ecosystem.
Yes. Yes. What we spend, if you think about it, if we are getting our sleep, we spend a very large portion of our day in that space. So why not make it comfortable and nice and inviting? And clean and all of that fun stuff. So
make your bed, people.
Yep, there you go.
Make your bed, wash your hands.
Yes.
We've got more coming up here on Four States Live. Stay with us. And welcome back. It is Four States Live on this Tuesday, January the 5th. Allison Harder back with us this morning. She is with Heartland Behavioral Health out of Nevada. You know, one of the things you didn't write down on here specifically to make a commitment to is to our mental health.
Yep.
Yes. Although you kind of did point it out, therapy.
Yes.
The best hour of the week.
I have to say, I mean, I am a therapist. However, you know, I think a lot of people have talked to me about this, and I am seeing a shift, thankfully, in the concept of, you know, really putting our mental health at the same level, if not as important as to our physical health. But, you know, I said, if you're not in therapy, you know, consider starting therapy. Therapy does not have to be, you don't have to be in crisis for that. You know, we go to our physical doctors for our checkups, right?
Right.
You know, and we're not sick, hopefully, during that time. We get our annual checkups. Therapy is that same process. It's just a great time. And I say to my clients, and a lot of my clients come to me and they are not in crisis. They are just wanting to talk about like their life and get some advice on, you know, how, maybe what do you think about this or what about this happening in my life? And just really getting feedback that is non-biased, that has, a little bit of, you know, structure behind it. And, I say it's the best hour of the week to be selfish. And I think it's so important because I think putting ourselves first, putting our thoughts and ideas and our stressors and our joys first, with another person is so, so important for us. You know, most therapists have therapists. I mean, we're right there in there with it too, just because we know how important it is to make sure that our life is balanced and that we have, you know, another person's ear to bend, that is completely non-biased. I always talk to my clients about, you know, it's their bus. They get to drive it. I'm just a passenger on the bus.
Oh, is it a short bus?
It could be a short bus. It could be a long bus. It could be like a groovy bus. It doesn't matter to me, but you know, I'm just kind of there like directing it. You know, their friendly cruise director at times saying, hey, what do you think about this or what about that? But in reality, it's their life. I just get to be a passenger and I love it. It is the biggest privilege of my life to be invited into someone's life and say, hey, what do you think about this? It's such a joy. It's just the best job in the world.
How important is it to find, you know, to talk to a therapist versus maybe trying to talk to your husband or your spouse or your best friend?
Yeah.
You know, because they might, I mean, again, you said unbiased.
Right. Yeah. You know, I think definitely I want people to connect with those people that you just named, you know, their partners, their best friends, their family members, of course. But I think sometimes it's important for someone to challenge you a little bit on what you're thinking or give you a different perspective that you may not necessarily get from a person who is worried about, you know, hurting your feelings or worried about if they say something, would there be a fallout in your relationship? That's the greatest thing about it is like, I'm coming back every week. I am walking into my space with you in a completely non-judgmental stance. I'm there to support you and your ideas and maybe challenge you to think about things differently, possibly, or not, and just really support and validate what you're going through. And that's what the best thing about therapy, in my opinion.
How do you get somebody over the mental thought, the stigma of going to therapy? I know mental health, it's gotten better getting over the stigma,
definitely.
But we're still not quite there yet. How do you get someone into that mindset that it's okay to come to someone like you and just talk?
Well, I think, thankfully, what we're seeing out and in the media is very positive right now. I also think hearing people like myself say, we all have been there before. We have our own therapists, too. We're here because it's the normal thing. The other part that I love, which is part of the pandemic, is I encourage people, think about online therapy. Think about telehealth, because you're not leaving your house or you're not leaving your car. You can do it from a phone. You don't have to be seen walking into, you know, a therapy office. Although, I got to tell you, my therapy office is awesome. It's like the most peaceful place on earth. So come, it's the best space ever. But sometimes that's the first step. Going in there and just doing it from virtually is the first step. And then you realize this is really great. And maybe I do want to see that person, you know, in person or not. And that's fine too. But just giving it an option or a chance. There are so many great platforms. And also find one that you mesh with. Like, it's fine if it doesn't work the first. Find another one. You know, not everything works the first time around.
Right.
You don't just may not click with that person. And if you have a good therapist, they're going to help you with that. They're going to say, you know what? Let me make a suggestion for you. There's another person that I know that's really, really good at this, and you might like them better. So that's our job too, is to make sure that we're clicking with our patients and that we're all comfortable in that space together.
Are you seeing more people because of 2020 seeking that help?
Yes,
because I think we've been stuck in our houses for so long with our own thoughts. I think a little, you know, not to throw the term about loosely, I think a little, some of us have gone a little bit nuts.
Yeah, no, 100%. Huge uptick in requests for help and advice and just trying to get out from where you're at, which is sometimes stuck in your house with your kids and all these things happening. So huge uptick, definitely seeing, you know, that shift in over 30% increase in reports of anxiety, depression, just social anxiety, just all of those things. And people are seeking help. But again, it's about seeking the right help and finding that connection to that person that's really going to be there for you.
So one of the things that I think also kind of relating to COVID, one of the things that you sent to me for commitments is like reexamining your relationship with things like alcohol or smoking.
Yeah.
Because I know, I think at one point, initially when the lockdown first happened, I think they reported like a 17% or more in alcohol sales because people had nothing else to do.
Right. Yeah. You're right. There has definitely been an uptick in concerns with, you know, substance abuse, overuse. But what I say to the clients that I work with is just think about what your relationship with alcohol is. You know, alcohol is, for many of us, is not a horrible thing. It's not something that you have to always stay away from. But you need to think about when you're having that drink, what is it connected to? What emotions are you just truly enjoying that and then you're off about your day? Or are you under stress? Are you sad? Are you depressed? And are you needing more? So I have to say to some of my clients, try a dry month where you're not doing anything at all and see what that's like for you. Do you find that you're changing? Do you find that it's better or worse? Or just examine that month. And then also think about the months where you are drinking alcohol, and when is that happening? Can you go out and not have a drink? If you have to have that because you need to socialize, maybe we talk about that. It doesn't mean that we say no 100%. It just means let's think about what our relationship is with alcohol. Same with, you know, smoking, same with food. It's all about what is that doing for us, and are we trying to use those things to manage our emotions and how we feel, when instead we need to be examining where is this coming from and how can we treat that, you know, collectively.
So, you know, it's a new year. It's kind of a chance to kind of reexamine ourselves.
Exactly. That's why I think it's fun. I love not only this time of year, I love any time of year, because I think anytime you're exploring yourself and you're thinking about yourself and you know where you want to shift and examining your relationships with people and with your job and with food, et cetera, all of those things, it's exciting to me. And that's why I love my job, because I get to go on that journey with you and watch that, you know, epiphany happen, and you start to really find the best version of yourself. And that's really what this is about, is finding the very best version of yourself so that you can be a great person for the people around you too.
And speaking of, you know, you loving your job, some of the other top commitments, you know, for the year is improving job performance reducing job stress.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think, so a lot of people are thinking about that this year, right? They're really thinking about, I either really want to focus on my job performance and do a better job because I have this desire to maybe advance in my job. And for some people, they're looking at, you know what? I don't want to be stressed out all the time. I want to have that work-life balance. I know for those of us in healthcare, I think that's probably the majority of what all of us are saying, is that we want to find that work-life balance because this has been a very stressful year for us. It's not going away anytime soon. And so we really want to find, like we were talking about in the last segment, taking that break, taking our lunch break back, doing what we can to be less stressed and still enjoy the work that we do, because we have great opportunity. We love what we do. We just have to find that balance.
So we're going to be talking again. We've got one more segment.
Okay.
With you. We're going to go through the rest. You sent me a lot of great stuff.
I did.
Hey, I like having too much. So, but we're going to be talking more with Allison Harder again with Heartland Behavioral Health Services out of Nevada. That's coming up next here on Four States Live. Stay with us.
You never know who might stop by. This is Four States Live with Shannon Bruffett.
And welcome back. It is Four States Live on this Tuesday, January 5th. Allison, I think we've run through most of your list, but Allison Harder is back with us this morning with Heartland Behavioral Health Services out of Nevada. We're talking about kind of New Year's commitments. I think resolutions should go away.
Yeah,
make a commitment, because you can have a day where you fall back. You don't quite make it that day. You don't get your 9,000 steps or whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
and we don't want to give up on that. Like, it's okay. Give yourself grace. We're good. Like, that's the thing. I think we just want to commit to, if we're committing to the steps, great. How about we just commit to just moving a little bit more, maybe taking stairs, maybe you make a commitment to walk every day somewhere, no matter where it is, like just even if it's around your house or whatever. But I think being able to just allow ourselves some opportunity for that is important.
Well, one of the things that you put down here, and this makes me laugh because I irritate my child with this every day.
I was hoping you would see this one.
Don't be afraid to dance it out or jam to music.
Yes. I love this. So,
together forever and never to part.
I love it. And my kids, they are, because I'll sit in the car with them and I'll just play something and I'm jamming out in the car, probably not very safely because my hands are not on the wheel, although I'm going slow, right? But they are just like, oh my gosh, mom. But you know what? Think about how you feel when that's happening. And that it feels so good. And that's the thing. Don't be afraid to be silly. Don't be afraid to, like, I love it. I say, let's dance it out. Let's just get rid of all that crap that's just holding you down and just have fun. Enjoy. Life is so great. And just being grateful for what we have in that moment. And you know what? Today I can dance around and I can laugh and I can jam out in my car. Those are all the things that I can do. So why not do that? I think we get so worried about doing things that are scary or that we might quote fail at, or we might look silly or stupid. But you know what? It's my gosh, it's a great day. Just get out there and do it. You're never going to have a chance to do it again.
I actually Rickrolled my kid the other day. A friend of mine had posted a meme and it's like, 79% of the people can't do the opposite of these words.
Uh-huh.
And when you do the opposite of every word, it said, never going to give you up. So
there you go.
And Grayson went through it and he's like, never going to give, oh, mom.
Yeah, I think,
like,
it's fun.
You've been Rickrolled.
That's right. I love that. I mean, I think that's what's, you know, think about what's a hobby or an activity that you have always been kind of scared to do or you're worried to do? Like, for me, it's art. Like, art scares me. I love art. Like, I think art therapy is amazing, or just people who are artistic. I am so not. So anytime like doing like a paint by numbers type of thing, like that's my jam. But, you know, going to like those where you see where you can go to a, like a paint store or an art, you know, and you get to make something on wood. That freaks me out because I'm like, it's not going to be very good. It's not going to be perfect. I did that twice this last year. It was awesome. Like, I love it. I cherish this, these two things that I made, and I think they're fabulous. I don't care because it's just fun. It's like something new that I need to do, or knitting, or taking up something that you're just not sure about, but just try it.
I've tried knitting, but I'm left-handed. So
yes, one of my clients just is trying to do that too. And she's trying, and she said the same thing, that trying to learn to knit and she's left-handed has been really hard, but she's just focused on it. She's like, I don't even care. I just want to try it. And I'm like, awesome. Do it.
Oh yeah. You ought to see me with knitting. And it's weird because like I'll use the hand mixer. So I ended up investing in a KitchenAid mixer because I can't do the bowl mixer because I'm ambidextrous. So I want to use the mixer with my right hand, but I can't use the spoon with my left hand. So when I mix stuff, I'm doing this. It's really awkward.
Yeah.
So I bought the KitchenAid. It was a great investment.
That is a good investment.
It was a great investment.
I can appreciate that. Know what we can do and what we can't, right? And just be grateful for what we can do. And that's about it.
Well, and trying to teach my son how to tie his shoes. And I'm left-handed. And
it's different.
It is. Like, I really tried to. Yeah. He ended up doing it a long, weird way. But yeah. He can tie his shoes.
I was going to say, can he tie his shoes? At the end of the day.
He can't keep his pants pulled up, but he can tie his shoes.
At the end of the day, if that's what we get, then that's where we're at. So,
what does it boil down to on making commitments?
You know, I think finding what's going to work for you, really examining your life and the things that make you happy, that bring you joy and contentment, stick with those. If there's areas that you want to shift and change, say, you know what, I'm not all that excited about that. Think about doing it slowly. Think about making that commitment and don't overstress yourself about it. You know, just write down some ideas, bring them to the people around you that love you. If you have a therapist, bring that to them. They'll work with you on that. So I think there's just a lot of great things that you can do. But the most important thing is to love yourself. And if you want to shift and change, you can. You absolutely can. You can start anytime you want and give yourself grace. That's the most important thing.
Giving yourself grace. But how important is it also, like, if you're wanting to make a diet commitment or a lack of alcohol commitment, to let your friends know you need to keep me in check?
Yeah, absolutely. I think definitely informing people of what you're wanting to do and what you're really focusing on so they can support you is super important. And I think, again, not being super restrictive, not just changing your relationship with alcohol, changing your relationship with food, moving a little bit more. Those are much more agreeable and amenable and doable, I think, is really important. But yeah, definitely bringing your people in because they're going to support you and
they're your tribe.
You. They're your tribe. I say that all the time, is find your tribe, right? And that's what some of what we talked about today is cleanse yourself of those who are not in your tribe. Those are the people that, you know, they can see you naked. Those are your tribe. You know, that's the people that I'm talking about that you can have that mouthful of food on, no problem. So
thank you for explaining the topless test.
Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah.
Thank you for that. So how can people get in contact with you? Because visiting a therapist, you don't have to have mental health issues in order to visit a therapist.
Right.
Sometimes it's the best hour of your week. How can they get in contact with you just to have that third party involved?
Yeah, absolutely. So just finding us on websites, really the best way. All of our different phone numbers are there. It's heartlandbehavioralhealth.com. We have our outpatient center there as well. They can connect you with me directly. I'm one of the primary therapists there, so I love it. I get to run the hospital, and I get to see patients, so it's the best job ever.
And
love
you
it.
Get to come on once a month.
And I do get to see you once a month.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you're going, you need help.
No, we all do. It's
we
great.
We all do. So, but that is a great way, and you're going to be coming on. I think we're going to be talking about the Healthy Nevada Initiative next month, which I think is a great idea, not just for Nevada, but I think any community
especially in our rural communities, are really focusing on health initiatives, population health. We're excited about it. It's something that I've been invested in for a long time, and we've got great people in Nevada running it. So pretty cool.
Well, that's going to be coming up next month here on Four States Live. And coming up tomorrow, Rob O'Brien's going to be stopping by. We're also going to be talking with the Joplin Health Department. Of course, we got to talk about the lovely C word.
Yes.
That's COVID.
Yes.
We're going to be talking not only about that, but some other things as well. But that's going to be coming up tomorrow. tomorrow here on Four States Live. Everything gets started at 7 a.m. right here on KKOW AM, as well as My New Life Radio. Make it a great day.